The New York Times' recent expose on Amazon describes a bruising workplace. No work-life boundaries, constant and brutally honest performance reviews from colleagues. So one way of looking at it, Amazon may treat its employees a lot like customers treat Amazon products. I mean, those thousands of anonymous reviews, the expectation of 24/7 availability, dumping poor performers. But then again, the Times was talking about people and the workplace, not products. Well, Amazon's founder and CEO Jeff Bezos rejects the newspaper's depiction, saying in a memo to employees, quote, "I don't recognize this Amazon, and I very much hope you don't either." But does the rest of the tech industry recognize that kind of working environment? For the answer, we go to our weekly guide in the world of tech, Recode. Peter Kafka is senior editor of Mobile at Recode. He's been covering the story. Peter, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So how are people in the world of tech responding to the Times story on Amazon?
There were a couple different reactions, but a common one was, yeah, we know that. We either know that about Amazon or we know that about lots of places in technology, that they're very difficult places to work and that people who work there are great and the ones who can't make it leave. That's sort of the Darwinian version of that. There's also a lot of surprise at some of the sort of more extreme parts of the New York Times story, employees essentially being punished for having cancer or having a miscarriage. Everyone sort of agrees that if that's true, that's bad. Even Jeff Bezos says that's bad.
Yeah. Well, so how much of what the Times reported on as Amazon norms do we see in the rest of the world of tech? I mean, there were stories in the piece about, you know, people working so hard or wanting to get so much done that with their own money, for example, they outsourced some of their work to India with their own money so that they could be more productive at Amazon.
It sounds like it's at the end of the bell curve. But again, you see lots of people doing extreme things all over the tech world. And sometimes these are celebrated as great fun things to do, even at employers who are considered sort of benign, fun places, fun employers like Facebook, right? They have an idea that we're having a hackathon. It's a 24-hour thing. People stay up all night and work on these projects. It's fun. That does sound perhaps like fun if you're 24 and don't have any kids or a home life. For older people, it sort of seems like a weird way to spend your time. And there's lots of places that people mentioned to me as places that have an equally hard charging culture as Amazon. Netflix is one they bring up a lot. Companies like Uber, Elon Musk at Tesla, Apple. A lot of places seem like Amazonian places.
Yeah. I mean, but someone in the piece, in the Times piece, makes the point that while it might have made them more productive and creative than they ever thought possible, there's also the risk of seeing people as products or as potentially expendable as employees if the bottom line isn't met.
Yeah, I mean, the metaphor you hear most often, I think people who have worked at Amazon, who've worked at places like this, bring up is a boot camp, right? So if you can tough this thing out, if you can hack it here, you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded either at the company or when you go to the next company. Say, oh, I graduated from the Marine boot camp. I graduated from Amazon. Now I can do this next thing. One tech person I talked to said, this is future optionality, right? The idea that if you make it here, you've got big rewards down the road.
You do make a point in your own reporting, though, that while startups may need to or want to work these, you know, unending hours and with the intensity that is described in Amazon, that you point out in your reporting, Amazon isn't a startup anymore. It's 2 decades old and has 150,000 employees. So why the need for this intensity in the workplace culture there?
What you hear either explicitly and or sometimes suggested is, well, we don't want to be like, for instance, Microsoft, which is considered in the views of Amazonians a bloated company right nearby where people don't work that hard anymore and they're not doing great things. And so we want to sort of preserve this startup culture, preserve this hard charging idea. That said, there's, you know, people presumably, I think Jeff Bezos saying, we used to burn people into the ground. So we'd like to not do that anymore. We do see that we do see a problem. We see a problem with excess, but we do want to keep that sort of hard charging culture we used to have alive.
Yeah. So I guess the question for a lot of people outside the world of tech is how much of what is going on in places like Amazon now going to seep out into the rest of the American workforce? I mean, in many ways, are we seeing what other employers could be doing 2, 5, 10 years down the line?
I think it's here now. I think that's why this story is so resonant. The New York Times has 4,000 comments on this story up today. I think it's because people realize that even if you're not working 80 hours, even if you didn't stay up 4 days in a row this week to work on some project, you are expected to be on call most of the time. The notion that your work life ends when you leave work, that's long gone. Everyone realizes, or many people are expected to be available at all hours of the day. And I think that's what – I think things like that are what people are recognizing in this Amazon story, even if their workplace isn't anywhere near as intense.
It seems as if the digital revolution can only hasten all that because the feedback is continuous as well, from colleague to colleague.
The upside, right, by the way, is this does give you flexibility, right? You could go visit your kids at camp during the day and bring your phone with you. And if you didn't have any work to do those few hours, you could probably get away with it. You probably couldn't pull it off at Amazon, though.